this is all it takes.
Falling in love with me.
Fall in love with me. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Courtney.
And this is Uncut Geminis.
Woo, yeehaw. Welcome to episode two.
Welcome to episode two. Thank you so much for listening to episode one. Wow. Wow.
Wow. I would like to give a major shout out to our first sponsor, aka my mom.
Thank you, Courtney's mom. I love it. Everybody keeps sponsoring us. Go support us at Anchor.fm. Right. Anchor.fm. You can contribute to the podcast there, but follow us on Uncut Geminis Pod.
Yeah, Uncut Geminis Pod.
Yeah, it was definitely been a week after having our first episode out. I'm so excited to keep recording and keep doing all this stuff we have planned.
Absolutely. Rachel, who are we this week?
Okay, I am a blonde podcaster this week. I fully have blonde hair today. All of the pink has washed out. This will probably be the only day I have it. I will probably re-dye it tomorrow. And I fully feel like a podcaster this week. We have been intensely thinking about the podcast, talking about the podcast, crying over the podcast, putting it out there. And I keep using this beautiful metaphor that's never been used before of the iceberg of like, you see this much of it. You see the very, very tip. You see it on social media. You see just the tip. You see it on social media. You see this little piece that we put out there. You hear it. But underneath that, for every artistic project you do, there are tons of emails that say, great, these are the notes from today. Talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's so much. It's so many conversations. It's so much underneath it all that goes into making before you can even do the creative stuff.
True.
I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, whoa, things take work.
I am. I think I'm complaining a little bit. I prefer the tip of the iceberg.
The tip is so much fun.
The tip is the most fun. Yeah, the tip is the most fun.
Yeah, and so whoa, it's like,
don't quote me on that.
It just resonated. The tip is the most fun is how I feel for the creative work. But I guess it's like you got to put all that other stuff into it to get the satisfaction of the tip.
Oh, man.
How are you? What's going on? Let's tell them.
Oh, God. I guess I'm a few things this week. Hey, when are we not? When are we not containing multitudes?
As Geminis.
But I think a few things this week. Most recently, I am just a sick little puppy.
Sick little puppy. Oh.
I got COVID yesterday. Mm. Or more likely probably on Sunday. And I was crying. I haven't been sick in 4 years. It's horrible and I hate it.
Ugh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that sucks. But other than that, I don't know. Also feeling very much like an influencer this week. You know, I don't often think of myself that way. I think of myself as like a meme admin and like a writer. And a lot of the times I think I forget that I actually have people that I can connect with. Like, not to be shitty about it, but I made a post on Friday about like how I've been feeling super shitty about Pride Month, just, I don't know, fucking being bisexual. And like, I came out to most notably, like, I think my family and my greater friend circle this year, where my friends, my close friends have known for a long time. And like, my boyfriend's always known, but like, I've never been super, super public about it.
Yeah.
Never hidden it, but never been, I don't think I've ever claimed it as part of my identity. And I made a post about it on Friday and I got so much just like love and attention, and a lot of people DMing me and being like, thank you so much for saying this, like I feel this way. A lot of people who were currently closeted and felt like, you know, they were like, I'm not there yet, but I really appreciated reading about what you had to say. And I was like, oh shit, sometimes I forget that, like, I don't know, like that there is power in having a platform.
Totally.
And I don't use it enough.
I so appreciated what you had to say. I thought you wrote it so beautifully. And I just want to say, I love you and I'm proud of you. And that's freaking awesome that you shared that. And you reminded me of two really amazing people just now. Two amazing celebrities. Kim Kardashian West. I will explain. And Cardi B. I will explain.
Okay. Oh, my God. Two Libras.
Kim Kardashian West hosting her SNL episode talking about I'm an influencer and using that word in this big way that I think people tend to look down on, but in the sense of you sharing your story and how it makes you feel shitty sometimes, but also it's the truth about yourself and the truth will set you free. Who said that?
Ugh, I don't know.
But you sharing that is huge.
I always think of the nerd song. You're like, but first it'll piss you off. That song Lemon.
Yeah. And then the Cardi B of it all, I will say, I would just watch her episode with David Letterman on My Next Guest. And it's fascinating to learn why Cardi B is famous. And she talks a lot about, yeah, I have a platform and I'm going to use it. Like, she paid for the Bronx fires, like all the residents who lost their homes. She like paid for funerals and she's like, this is what I'm supposed to do. If I have this platform, I'm going to use it. And I regret that neither of those people are queer or openly queer, who knows, but I just I think it's interesting to talk about having these platforms as these huge people. I think you are just as big as Kim Kardashian West and Cardi. Oh wait, she's not Kim Kardashian West anymore. Fuck, fact check me. I'm so sorry.
Whoa, oh my God. Ezra's gonna call you out for it.
Oh no, I love Kim Kardashian. I'm so sorry, Kim. Oh my God,
I have a bone to pick with Kim Kardashian right now, because Kim just endorsed Rick Caruso, who is famously a Republican, mayor.
Oh, no.
For mayor of Los Angeles. But that is, you know, neither here nor there. This is, like, the last day to vote. So that's really just a shout out for our Los Angelinos.
But how does it feel to have that, like, much influence?
I think I just very regularly forget about it, because I think of myself as mostly a person who makes jokes on the internet. And getting these messages of people who said, really a lot of people who came out via my memes. Like, a lot of people who said, like, I sent this to my friends to come out. That meant something to me. Like, wow. That was really sweet.
I'm clutching my chest. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's amazing, like, oh, Courtney.
Like, sometimes I forget that, like, it is so much easier to come out on the internet. It's so much easier to come out as, like, a tongue-in-cheek kind of joke. And it's so much easier to, like, use other people's words. Mm. And, yeah, I don't know. That made me feel a way. I don't even know how to describe it. I was really, really overwhelmed, honestly, like, this whole weekend, getting all these messages.
Yeah.
I couldn't reply to them, but yeah, I don't know. It was, I mean, just, yeah, I kind of felt like a live wire, but
yeah. Well, happy Pride.
Yeah, happy Pride. Happy Pride, gang. Really, and shouts to everyone who did come out this week and this year and all years. Shouts to all of you guys. It's a brave thing to do.
It's, and we have a lot of queer stuff to talk about today, so that's exciting.
We do. Yeah, we
do. On our culture. Amazing. It's good to check in. I'm so sorry that you're sick and, you know, it's gonna be okay. All this stuff, I just want to be like, it's going to be okay. I had COVID in January and it fucking sucked, but you influenced me to watch Yellow Jackets, which was amazing, and I just sat in bed and watched all of Yellow Jackets. If you have not seen Yellow Jackets on Showtime right now, go watch it. We got some stuff coming from you for Yellow Jackets. Stay tuned. But go watch that. And that's, I just laid there and watched 10 hours straight of television. So I hope you get to watch so much television and just lay there this week.
Absolutely. I'm trying to figure out what I am going to watch. My friend Christina was telling me I should watch 6 Feet Under, because I feel like I've watched every modern show.
Yeah, out. Go back and watch some.
So now
some
I got to go back through the lexicon and revisit some classics.
Totally. Yeah. We also want to talk about in astrology what is going on this week. And that's where we turn it to Courtney. So it is June 7th currently that we are recording this. This will come out on June 9th. So we got some fun stuff to talk about for this week of June.
Right. So we are currently moving through the second decanate of Gemini season. And if you have never heard of decanates, there are 3 decanates of each zodiac season. And what that means is basically it's like the season is divided into 3. So the first decanate is May 21st to 31st. And the ruler of Gemini season is Mercury, because the ruler of the sign Gemini is Mercury.
What does Mercury empower?
Mercury is the planet of communication. It is the fastest moving planet around the sun. And
is
so
that
it's
why
all...
we started a podcast?
Absolutely. That's why we started a podcast, Rachel. It's like, it's all about communication, though. It really is. It's like about, I mean, it's like it's the messenger. It's the guy who's like speeding around, telling everyone what's up. It's news. It's gossip. It's media.
I imagine him with red hair.
With red hair. I imagine like Hermes.
Yeah.
The Greek god. That's what I imagined for the season. Just wings on his feet. So for the first season, for the first decanate, that May 21st to May 31st stretch, the sub-ruler is also Mercury. So I think of the first gang as like the first decanate is like supercharged Geminis, which is coincidentally us.
Yeah, when we're born.
Yes, it's when we're born. And that's, I think that just makes us all really nerdy. I think that makes us the ones who care about, like, really like news and communication.
Yeah. I read like 20 articles this morning because I was totally nervous for what we were going to talk about. I was like, well, I got to read the articles.
That's great. I love that. I cried about being sick, but that's cool. But now we're in the second decanate. Happy June will be 9th when we release this episode. And the planetary sub-ruler of this week is Venus. So that is like kind of the social Gemini. It's the Gemini that like really connects with others and is like a people person. It's like they've got the charm, they're social, they're like adventurous. Because Venus is the planet of love. So it's like when your ruler is Mercury, this like, you know, snappy, communicative, like chatty planet, and then your sub-ruler is Venus, the planet of love, it just makes you such a lovable person. It makes you a person who makes connections super easily, makes friends really easily.
Like, so would you suggest that everybody text that acquaintance and say, hey, let's get a coffee, let's get a drink, let's do a little get to know each other a little deeper.
Oh, that's sweet. I like that. Yeah. And I think if you are born in this window, this is a great time for you to shoot your shot in like dating and in making new friends. You're prime lovable right now.
And it helps that it's so warm outside and it's like a new birth at this moment of the weather and everything going on like that. Do you think that there are more birthdays parties in Gemini season than other seasons? Like Geminis are like, I'm having a birthday party.
Yeah, probably. Because I think it's a combination of the warm weather, the fact that this is a social sign. Yeah, I totally think so. Because I think about the signs when I like, there's such a dry spell of birthdays in the winter, you know, like I feel like Sagittarius season, there's so many celebrations around, you know, the holidays. And also right. Sagittarius is like the sign of festivities, you know, it's like, I think of like Dionysus. I'm obviously such a Greek god's hoe. But
you should
like,
go see Hadestown.
If I should.
Hadestown, it's so good. Lots of Greek stuff up in there.
I love Greek mythology. Ugh, Rick Riordan, please. I think we get this like dry spell though for Capricorn season, for Aquarius season. Pisces are like, they want to spend their birthday inside, you know, or just like with their closest friends and family. And then I think Aries were all really pissed off that they didn't get their birthday parties during COVID.
They got to have two.
Yeah. I think Taurus is a good birthday also. I think Taurus loves a birthday party. Oh. Because Taurus is like the host. I think of Taurus as like the ultimate, like, I'm going to have a house party. Yeah. Everyone's going to come to me. We're going to have great libations. Like,
I love that.
We're all going to like hang out and get drunk and smoke a little something. You know,
I love that. My friend Rachel was just saying, who's a Taurus, another Rachel, she missed her birthday in April. So like she never threw a party. So she was like, maybe I'll just do something in July. And I was like, girl, you can throw a party whenever you want. I'm there. This party idea sounds so fun. She wants to do like a whole karaoke thing. And I'm like, yes, let's do it in July. We can celebrate your birthday then. It's because the Taurus missed it.
Hell yeah.
I was just going to say, hearing that Geminis are a social sign and we're in a very social period, I really like that for myself as a Gemini, because sometimes people say to me like, oh, you're so social, you have so many friends, or you talk to everybody or whatever. And I don't think they're trying to say it as a bad thing, but sometimes I get self-conscious about it. I'm like, am I too social? Do people not think I'm being genuine or something? But I really do love connecting with so many different people. And even growing up, I feel like I always had different friends and different interests. And now we're here. But you're like, no, that's just who I'm meant to be. And that's who I am.
I think that's totally true. I think you hit the nail on the head at the end there. And I get that. I have been self-conscious that it, like, I don't know, like, I've worried that, like, maybe these friendships are more shallow. But I think it's more that it's, like, part of the role of the Gemini is to be the connecting piece. And I think that you do that so well of being, like, when you meet a ton of people, you see commonalities and you're like, hey, you know who you would be a really good friend to? My other friend who I met a couple of times, you know? And then people love that and they're so grateful for that. And it's amazing, and it also makes you so great in like a group setting, you know? Aww. Like, and that is, I think, the beauty of a Gemini is bringing people together.
Yeah, I and especially living in LA these past couple years and meeting a ton of new people, I'm just like, I want all my friends to be friends. It makes it so much easier for me where I'm like, I'm here. Why don't we invite everybody and we all just hang out together? Because I don't think I can offer everything to everybody. I think there's certain people who have more commonalities that I learn about. And I'm like, oh, my God, you got to meet my other friend. And, you know, not everybody wants to talk about the Kardashians with me all the time. I got to have certain people.
Well, I can be in that group. I'm in the group of people who are always down to talk about the Kardashians. I like, look, clearly just immediately brought up Kim Kardashian's voting record.
Yeah.
But I think, you know what is my dream? Is like, I miss something that I miss about like Facebook groups, mm-hmm. is that like when we were really big on like Facebook groups, I would just like post being like, hey, I'm having a party, or like, hey, I'm going to this, with like my groups without like, you know, with like 30 fucking people in it.
Yeah.
And just see like who's gonna bite. And now, right. like, I wish that I could have, like, literally, like, a texting, like, mailing list or something, right. of, like, all my friends to be like, hey, I'm doing this. Like, who wants to come?
Yeah, I kind of do that. I kind of, like, decide what I'm going to do, and then I just send it to, like, people I've been hanging out with. I'm like, hey, you want to come? I'm already here.
I love that. I want that. I want that. Oh, God. I want to be able to be like, do you want to sign up for a text from Courtney that is just inviting to get – where you get invited to hang out with strangers?
That could come to fruition. We can make this happen.
It'll be like the dealers. I get so many texts from like fucking – what are they called? Dispensaries. Dispensaries that I went to like 2 or 3 years ago. They still send me and they'll be like – hey, like, happy Friday. Today is BOGO for eights, you know? And I'm like, I don't know where this is. Like, Fire Rocket House of Alhambra. You know, I'm like, what the shit is this? But if someone could be on my list like that, I could be sending these emails or these texts to people that I met one time at a party 2 years ago. And maybe one day they'll be like, actually, I would love to go rollerblading with you.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I think we got to make this happen. It's a whole new app we're going to invent. It's called Invite Somebody You Met One Time to Your Most Personal Dinner Party.
Get clued into Courtney's events. It's like, you know, it's the anti-FOMO. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Because I always want people to feel invited.
Yeah, totally. Me too. I'm like, just come on down. I'm already here. Just come. I love that. Okay, so we want to start doing every single time that we release an episode, we're going to talk about whose birthday it is that day. Celebrity yes. birthdays, but eventually we can just have people who happen to listen to this podcast and DM us. Let us know if it's your birthday that day. We'd love to shout some people out. So let's talk about whose birthday it is on June 9th. Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman. I love an Natalie icon. Portman. An icon. I think she's such a quintessential Gemini because she's done so much random shit. She like was a child actor and then went to Harvard. Why? Right. She didn't have to go to Harvard. What,
neuroscience?
She
was just curious. Neuroscience?
Yes. I want to say curious. Maybe biology. I think you're right about neuroscience. Fact check. Ezra, this is an Ezra shout out.
This is for Ezra shout out.
But yeah, she's so smart.
So smart.
She's
beautiful.
So interesting. I think she's so cool. And she's also a dual citizen, which is very Gemini to me.
Yeah, you know that question of like, who would you invite to a dinner party? I'm going to start saying Natalie Portman. Like, I would love to have dinner with Natalie Portman. I would ask her so many things.
I would love to ask her things.
I
mean,
also, I think that she should have gotten more recognition for Jackie.
Oh, fuck no. Or, well, no. Okay, I shouldn't say oh, fuck no to Jackie, but I watched Jackie so. Hi. I'll just say hi. Now I know my mom is like a patron of this. And so I'm like, well, all right. My mom's here. But I watched Jackie so high. And I was with my friend Blaze. And we didn't know what Jackie O's accent was. And so we were watching her do this. And she's like, at one time, that was Camelot. And we're like, what the fuck is this? Went and watched interviews later. It's perfect. She did a perfect job. Natalie Portman did an incredible job. She's immaculate as Jackie Kennedy. But Jackie Kennedy sounds insane. Whatever fake accent she made up, it's like this transatlantic weird Virginia shit. I don't know. It's so fucking insane that you have to watch that.
So sober. You're saying no to Jackie.
I guess I'm Kennedy, saying no to Jackie
not
Kennedy.
Natalie
not
Portman.
Not no to Natalie Portman.
Okay, next birthday of today, Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, shouts to Michael J. Fox.
Okay, Mae Whitman.
Yeah. Shouts to Mae Whitman. We love Mae Whitman.
We love Mae Whitman. Happy birthday.
We are big fans of Mae Whitman on this pod.
Yes, yes. I've been watching Good Girls. Going through it. It's very good. Oh my goodness. It's, good. It's so good. Okay.
Stassi baby. Stassi baby. I didn't ever watch Vanderpump Rules, but Stassi Baby is like the shit starter on Vanderpump Rules.
She's 24 years old.
Wait, is it really her birthday? For some reason, I thought she was a Cancer.
She's on the birthday list. Isn't this Kylie Jenner's friend?
Am I crazy? Am I getting her confused with someone else? I probably am. Do I have her totally confused with someone else? Wait.
I think you might. I think this is Kylie Jenner's friend.
Who do I think she is?
I want to be famous for being somebody's friend.
Wait, you're right. Who do I think she is? I totally have this wrong. Who the fuck is the girl from Vanderpump Rules? Vanderpump Stassi Schroeder. Stassi Schroeder is the one I'm thinking of, who is a Cancer. And she's the one from Vanderpump Rules. So, totally wrong. I'm wrong. Stassi Baby is a different person. Wow, two famous blonde Stassis that are just very L.A. I feel like they're both very, very L.A.
What is Stassi short for? Stacy?
In the case of Stassi Schroeder, it's Nastassia.
Wow.
Bianca Schroeder.
Wow.
Clark.
Okay, June 9th birthday, Johnny Depp.
Yeah, this is a... Yeah. In this house, we do not stand Johnny Depp.
Yeah. I don't... Why was that trial on television?
Because he specifically requested it. Because he's a fucking snake.
Yeah, right.
God, I don't even know what to say about this.
I know. We're just... I feel like I'm not happy with all the praising that's going on. Like, Naomi Campbell was, like, so hearting all of his Instagrams, was commenting, was so excited. And it's just, like... We need to be better at supporting women. We need to be better at hearing women's stories. We need to be better at – I'm not saying they were both perfect by any means at all. I don't think that Amber Heard is like a perfect person or didn't do anything. But there's a lot of sides to this story that we're just praising Johnny Depp and we shouldn't be.
And I feel like I was honestly so annoyed by the just how oversaturated my fucking timeline was with all the content that I didn't bother to look into it. And when I finally did after the fact, I was like, oh, shit. I think I, too, fell victim to the propaganda that was going around because I started being like, yeah, there's probably both sides. You know, I'm sure like she's not great either. In reality, it's pretty fucking his side only. Like, he put a bottle inside her. Like, trigger warning here. Like,
yeah,
he like. The times when she fought back were, like, he was going to push her sister down the stairs.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's pretty fucking rough. Right. And I am just so, I don't know, I'm so fed up. And I think that this whole trial really just revealed how much people have been, I think, holding in their impulse
yes.
since Me Too. Like, they've just been so fed up with having to respect women for,
yes.
I mean, what, a total of 4 years? 5 years? Like, if the Me Too really was fall 2017.
We only get 4 years for respecting women and we're going to move on.
Yeah. And now it's like, it feels like this like horrible beast has been like waiting in the background. And it's like, people finally saw. She had that one quote that was like, go ahead, Johnny. Like, tell everyone you're a victim of domestic abuse. See if they believe you. And I feel like people heard that quote and were like, oh, well, if he is, then she's a horrible person, which is true.
Right.
You know, if he is, that's a horrible thing to say.
Right.
But the reality is that he's not the victim. She's the victim, and he's the one up there saying that she's not a victim. And it's fucking insane the way people reacted. I also learned that he paid Ben Shapiro to, like, spread discord. I was like, Jesus fucking Christ.
I think this is a conversation about the media and how insane it is and exactly what you're saying. People have been waiting to be like, okay, here's a woman. Let me say the shittiest thing that I possibly can and take this truth that somebody's trying to say and mix it all up. And I also think this is a court case. This is at court, and it was at court for very specific reasons. And we're all like, great, we have opinions about this. Let me just shit on women because it's time to shit on women again.
I really think that it was just like people were so excited. And like that kind of just like ravenous misogyny was so gross to be around and see.
Yeah.
And I mean, I saw it from women too, and it was horrible.
Yeah.
I also learned the jury wasn't sequestered. They just, like, fully had access to all of these memes. I don't know. I don't want to.
Yeah, yeah. So that's...
We don't have to belabor it.
We don't have
so,
to. Yeah.
Suck my dick, Johnny Depp. I hope you have a shit birthday. I hope you never get work again. I don't know. Yeah. Anyways, that said, if you share this birthday, you can say, I share a birthday with Natalie Portman. And we love
yes,
Natalie Portman.
With Mae Whitman, with Stassi Baby,
with Stassi
Michael
Baby.
J. Fox, with all these amazing people. Have a great June 9th birthday. Have a really social weekend. We hope that for all of you.
Totally.
Hey, this is an ad break. Are you a sponsor? Want to promote your thing here? We want to work with good people. So email us at uncutgeminispodcast@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram at uncutgeminispod. I'm so excited to talk about our culture conversations for this week. And we are going to start off by talking about Hacks, which I am so excited to talk about, which just wrapped season 2.
So it's created by Paul Downs, Jen Statsky, and Lucia Agnello.
Lucia and Paul are married. Isn't that so cute?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Hacks is a dark mentorship about Debra Vance, a legendary Las Vegas comedian, and an entitled outcast 25-year-old comedy writer, Ava Daniels, played by Hannah Einbinder, who is absolutely amazing. And Debra Vance is played by star Jean Smart. They're on season 2. I'm sure you all have already watched this because it is absolutely fantastic. It won a ton of Emmys last year. And if you haven't seen it, watch it right now. And it's sort of their will they, won't they between these two main characters who are of different ages, of different statuses, of different generations, and are coming together to talk about women in comedy.
Yeah, I love Hacks. It came out on HBO Max last year, and I just immediately loved it. I think it really speaks to a very specific world that you and I both live in, a very like Los Angeles entertainment that is the world that Ava is coming from. And Debra has clearly made her own, she's carved out her own success in Las Vegas after sort of being a bit, I think, rejected. She's kind of been rejected by LA and New York, these sort of like elitist circles. But in Las Vegas, she's beloved. She is, you know, she has a residency at the hotel. She's like the queen of Las Vegas. And after Ava basically gets canceled on Twitter, this 25-year-old writer is like, the last writing job she can have is to punch up Debra's jokes because Debra's at the risk of losing her residency. So picking up in season 2 is like, they're going on tour because she actually does lose the residency at the end of the season. And it's just been so fun watching them. They have such a great comedic chemistry.
I think there's great writing on the show. One of my favorite comedians, Pat Regan, is a writer on the show. I think he's so, I can just like tell because I listen to his podcast, Seek Treatment. I can tell like what jokes are his a little bit, but maybe I'm pushing. Like they were just watching The Amazing Race in one of the finale episodes, and I know Pat is obsessed with The Amazing Race. So I'm like, maybe Pat pitched that joke. I hope, Pat, I love you so much. So yeah, I think that the characters are so freaking good. I feel like I'm just watching family members just fight it out together between Ava and Debra. Oh my God. Meg Stalter. We just have to talk about Meg Stalter.
Oh my God. Meg Stalter is so funny on it. She's so funny. I think you nailed it with the term family members because it really does feel like this family because Debra, like so much of the cast surrounds Debra. Debra is so the center of their world. And so much of the cast is like, it's the CEO of her brand at what is basically like SVC? SVC. Is that the shopping channel?
QVC.
Right? QVC.
You watch Shark Tank, girl. You got to get in that Shark Tank. Literally, I swear on my life, Shark Tank is my favorite TV show. Reality TV for the win. You can hear me talking about all this Succession and Hacks and movies, and I watch all the Oscar movies. My favorite TV show, I do not miss it every single week, is Shark Tank. Lori is the queen of QVC. Ugh, Shark Tank for life. Okay, so Debra Vance is on a QVC-like show, and she is definitely the queen of this family.
Yeah, like the whole world just revolves around her. It's like the characters are her assistants. They run her QVC channel. They're the ones who they manage her household. Ava is her writer. And there's another great character is her daughter, who is played by Caitlin Olson? Yeah.
From
Always Sunny.
Always Sunny.
Who's Sweet D on Always Sunny. So fucking funny. And I'm so glad she found another like great role to shine in after Always Sunny because I loved Always
Sunny.
You're
just watching somebody be so crazy and alive. It is thrilling. That's how I feel about all the actors on that show. And it's just, it's truly, yeah, they're like this. I feel that it takes a while for shows to get into this rhythm where all the characters do feel like family. And I think that speaks to the really good writing and directing and everything on the show, that they all just are right away. We get the hierarchies, we get who needs to converse with who, and we get how everybody feels about each other and can be really honest with each other like a family. It's genius.
Totally.
And most of the characters are queer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely true.
And they're actors, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is great. And it's really refreshing and nice to see. And the other great thing about Ava is totally a Gemini. I would like to assert this now. And I would like to say Hannah Einbinder confirmed it for me. Okay, so Hannah herself is a Gemini. And I asked her once and she was like, I think that Ava is a Gemini. And I think Ava is a Gemini that has not gone to therapy. And I was like, okay, that checks out.
Love that quote. A Gemini that has not gone to therapy.
Yep. I think she's like a particularly careerist Gemini. So I could see her having like some earthy placements, maybe like a Capricorn moon or something. I don't know. But she.
What is Deborah Vance? What is her sign?
Oh my God, I've never been able to nail it down because she's so fiery. She's so she's so vengeful. She so believes in vengeance, but she's so much fun. I could see maybe Scorpio, honestly. I love my Scorpios. I think Scorpios are so goddamn fun and so funny. And also definitely the most vengeful sign, the most grudge-holding sign.
She holds a lot of, I feel like she has this secretiveness to her, Deborah Vance. As I was thinking that watching the finale yesterday, I was like, wow, Jean Smart is such a good actor. Hot take, LOL. Everybody knows this. But I was like, there must be so much inner work that she does here because there's just so much that already feels true to her that I, as an audience member, don't know that I know Deborah Vance knows about herself. And I feel like there's this stuff she holds in close that she doesn't let her quote unquote family members see, that she doesn't let all of those around her see, that sometimes we as an audience get to see, but I think is so beautiful. So is that Scorpio vibes?
I mean, yeah, Scorpio is like such a sign of mystery. Scorpios are so about interiority. They're also so much about loyalty. And I think that that's huge for Deborah. Like Deborah is, I mean, one, she's had all of these people who are like in her, like whatever, her coterie, her employees. These people are so, so loyal to her. And when she does get hurt, it's like she really, really feels it. And you can see that like she acts out and she will pretend she's going to run over you with her car and all this stuff that's like kind of like it's almost fun, you know? But in reality, it's like she does hurt and you can see. And like, I think, Jean Smart brings such a like, she just performs it so beautifully.
I love when somebody's going to pretend run me over with their car for fun. It's like, yes.
Because they love you so much.
Yes, tease me with death. I'm about that. Yes, let me get a little afraid. I hope you run me over, but don't.
No, I love it.
Oh, wow. I feel like we have to shout out the other characters, though.
Absolutely.
That are also so amazing.
So I also love Poppy. Oh my God. Poppy, Poppy Lou plays Kiki in the show. And I also talked to Poppy once over the DMs. And Poppy said that she believes Kiki is a Capricorn because she is such a hustler. And I see that because she's a total
And she has
hustler.
The cutest outfits. Oh my God.
Oh my God. She's so fun.
I just want to dress like her.
I just think she's such a delight. I love that character.
Okay, we got to say something bad about Hacks. We got to flip it.
You're right. We have to have our Gemini moment.
Gemini moment. Okay, Hacks is...
It's... You know what? It makes the other shows that I want to watch right now look terrible. That's what it is. I'm trying to find a new show to watch, and I'm like, ugh, nothing looks good right now.
I know. I'm like, I just wish there was more Hacks. That's how much I love it.
I know. I need more episodes. I don't know. Is that a fake?
No, that's a fake out. That's
such a cop out.
Sometimes I got it. Sometimes I don't always care about Ava's love life, and I just want, I'm all for watching people have sex on screen, but sometimes I just want her to be with Deborah all the time. Sometimes I just want those characters together all the time. Which is great cliffhanger for the final finale, actually, what I just said, that I want them to be together all the time.
I think, though, Ava doesn't care about her love life either. I think Ava's love life is also Deborah. I think that her love is her work, and right now her work is Deborah, and so that's why she's so heartbroken in the finale.
They're very will they, won't they.
Yep, which we will not spoil.
Damn it.
Even though I didn't give a little spoiler.
I was literally trying to say something bad. I was trying to say that. And it didn't work.
I just love this show. I love this show. You know what? Okay, here's my note for the second season. Not enough Caitlin Olsen.
Yeah.
Because I think they made more room for Meg Stalter, who is incredible, and she's such a talent. But she was so the breakout star of season one that I think they brought her forward in season two.
Yeah.
And in doing so, they shrunk Caitlin Olsen and they shrunk Poppy, who plays Kiki.
I would love to see Caitlin and Meg have a scene. What would that even be? That's what we request. We request that for season 3. Write a scene for Jean Smart's daughter, Caitlin Olsen, who is not their character names, but that is okay, and Meg Stalter. I just want to see those two in a conversation.
I would love to see them
interact. I would pay money to see them in a conversation.
Wait, I actually have this is the most random anecdote, but I do have a fun Los Angeles anecdote.
Go for it.
Okay, so Rachel and I are neighbors. We live in the exact same building, so this is also relevant to you. You know how Joe Mandy lives in our neighborhood?
Oh my God, I see him every single day. He has 2 pit bulls, and every single day we walk by each other and we smile and we go, hey. And I just want to be like, I know you're Joe Mandy. You don't know me, but I see you every single day.
Okay, Joe Mandy, for anyone who watches Hacks, he plays the bellhop. The concierge. The one who, whenever Ava loses like her retainer, when she's trying to get toothpaste, when she needs something from the hotel in Las Vegas, Joe Mandy is the one she's talking to. And I think he also is a writer for the show.
He's a writer, and he also wrote for The Good Place. He has his own stand-up special. I really like his comedy. I think he's great.
He's great. So the other day, Matt and I like to play a game, my boyfriend and I, where when we see just like random people on the street, we'll try and fake each other out and be like, oh, look, that's Jeremy Strong. Or like, oh my God, do you see, that's Macaulay Culkin. Like, and so we were doing that to each other, and the guy got closer to us, and it was actually Joe Mandy. Wait, I actually have another Joe Mandy anecdote. I'm glad him around everywhere. I almost hit him with my car is a stretch, but I was driving down this hill and he was violently jaywalking, like not in the street, just total loop towards the sidewalk. And I was like, you know, I had to slow down a little faster to not hit you, Joe Mandy, because we made dead eye contact.
Did he have his dogs?
He did not have his dogs.
Do we know his sign? What is he?
No, because look, everyone who listens to this is going to have to look up who Joe Mandy is. Let's just say that. But we don't.
Okay, so that's our review on Hacks and our review on Joe Mandy. Okay, the next thing we have to talk about, which we are so excited for, is the movie Fire Island, which just came out on Hulu. It is written by Joe Kim Booster, and it is directed by Andrew Ahn. It is so fun, so great. It is a gay retelling of Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice. 2 friends and their chosen family take a week-long vacation to Fire Island and are excited about their annual week of fun times and day drinking. But when things take a turn, their bonds are tested. That is what it says on Google.com. Y'all, I've been waiting for this movie. Literally all of my favorite comedians are in it. Court, what do you think?
I loved it. I thought it was so fun. And it's also, I think it spoke to such a niche location that it has such its own culture that I have never seen in movies or in TV. And I was so excited to finally see that, yeah, represented. Like, I feel like maybe, like, the first year I moved to New York, I heard about Fire Island as, like, it is so known as this gay haven and, like, you never, ever hear about it in media. And seeing it, I mean, I've never fucking been there. I'm not a gay man. Like, it's so depicted as this, like, utopia for queer men. And it was so nice to see it. I don't know. It was just nice to be, like, see this ode to that world. I don't know. It felt like such a love letter. Do you know what I mean?
I fully, fully know what you mean. And before I go into the movie, I actually need to give an honest hot take. I don't think I ever read Pride and Prejudice. And I've probably been lying about that my whole life. And I, after seeing this movie, am very confused by Pride and Prejudice. And, you know, have we all read Pride and Prejudice? Like, I really want to know. When did you guys read this? Was it assigned in school? Was it just one of those books I was supposed to, like, magically have as a child and supposed to read under the covers every night? I never read Pride and Prejudice. I never watched Pride and Prejudice. There you go. I said it. I don't know. But I love this movie, and I'm happy to talk about that. What is Pride and Prejudice about, Courtney? What the fuck?
Okay. Pride and Prejudice is, like, my fucking favorite. So yeah. Quick note on Pride and Prejudice. I saw Pride and Prejudice 2005 version featuring Keira Knightley and Matthew McFadyen, whom you may also know as Tom Wamsgans from Succession.
Hot, hot, hot.
Hot. Hot, hot, hot. This is a very formative experience for me as a 5th grader. And so I saw this movie with my mom and my sister in theaters. Later on, I think in maybe 7th grade in middle school, I tried to read it. It was so wordy. I reread it. I think eventually finally got through it at some point in middle school or high school. That said, I do think most people are lying about actually reading it. And most people have just seen the Pride and Prejudice 2005 one.
Yeah, if you read Pride and Prejudice, DM me. tell me that you read it. Be honest with me. I know my friend Isabel, probably both my friends Isabel, are going to be like, yeah, I read Pride and Prejudice, and that's why they're my friends.
But here's the thing. No one reads. I don't believe them. That's it. Pride and Prejudice is the blueprint. Pride and Prejudice is every rom-com. Pride and Prejudice is the essence. Oh, my God. So one of my favorite movies ever is Bridget Jones' Diary. That's Pride and Prejudice. Like, there's so many, like, so many things that you could name.
There are so many characters in this movie, in Fire Island, which is not a bad thing. I think they did an amazing job balancing all of them. But I'm like, is that what Pride and Prejudice is? Are there this many people? Oh, my God.
Yes, because it is at heart, it's about families and it's about class. This is the thing about Pride and Prejudice is, like, yeah, it's a romance and it has been many ways, like, become the blueprint for rom-coms, but the actual story of it, when you get down to the book and the Jane Austen, like, original work, it is mostly about basically rich man, poor man. Like, it's this poor family of four daughters, which is, like, maybe the worst thing you could possibly have in this era of England is women.
And let's pause and say how they did that in this movie. So the way they did that is they had Joelkin Boosther play Noah, Bowen Yang play Howie, Matt Rogers, who I am obsessed with, play Luke, Tomas Matos play Keegan, and Torrin Miller play Max. And they were all a family with their mother, played by Margaret Cho. And it was so beautiful. They were all, like, quote unquote sisters coming together, because they come together every year to do this big Fire Island trip. And they were the best family ever. I just wanted to, like, be their friend so badly. I was like, can I just hang out with you guys? You're so funny and fun. And oh my God. So that was the family.
Totally. So I think that Joelkin Boosther used this story so well to talk about social capital, because he really layered all of these ways. He says really early on in the script, like, all of the different currencies people have on Fire Island, whether that is class, race, like, body type, all of these different things that people use to be, I don't know, more worthwhile on the island. And I think that is so interesting, and he picks such a great story to do this with. And in Pride and Prejudice, it's basically like these four daughters are, like, they're hoping that one of the daughters will marry into like an upper class family. And the upper class family is just, they're stiff, they're rude, they're dicks. And that was kind of the wealthy house that we saw in Fire Island, where we have our Mr. Darcy, who is played as the character named Will by Conrad Riccamora.
And then who was James Scully, who was Bowen Yang's love interest, played by James Scully, and the character was Charlie. Who was he in Pride and Prejudice?
So basically, if you care about Pride and Prejudice, the comparisons are Joelkin Boosther plays Lizzie Bennet, Bowen Yang plays Jane Bennet. Bowen Yang's love interest is James Scully, aka Charlie, and that is
Fact check us.
Ugh, God, it's just, like, escaping me in this moment.
You literally have COVID. It's okay.
Ugh, you know what? He's got red hair in the 2005 version with Keira Knightley.
Wait, do you
Bingley,
think that...
Bingley, Mr. Bingley. Okay. He plays, yeah, Mr. Bingley. Oh, that's cute. They named him Charlie. I didn't even think about that. Charles Bingley, yeah. And he's supposed to be the nice one. In Pride and Prejudice and in Fire Island, he's, like, really sweet and doesn't care that they aren't the wealthy. But he gets kind of, you know, I don't know. I think they really played with the source material and they totally bent it to, like, modern social issues very well, and they made it their own.
Totally. They talked a lot about being gay and Asian and what that, and there was outright racism coming from the richer group, and they would just say these crazy things to them and you'd be like, oh my God, as a viewer, and your heart is broken if that happens to people. You never want that to happen. And I think he did an amazing job of portraying their feelings, like getting to see Bowen Yang be so raw of, like, I can't do this anymore. I'm tired of being perceived in this way. And I'm coming here to have a good time. And this is so crazy. And I just think it's an amazing movie made by amazing people. I loved how it was directed. I thought there was really good moments that showed off the island and just made me want to be on a beautiful summer vacation. And one of my favorite things that the character Joelkin Boosther kept saying in his narration in the movie was, time is different on Fire Island. Time acts differently on vacation. And I thought that was such a beautiful reference to how quickly people are falling in love and how quickly relationships can feel intensified, and also what it does feel like on vacation.
I totally agree. No notes. Honestly, I fully agree with everything you just said.
Oh, what sign do we think Noah Joachim Booster is?
Okay, so I've thought about this a lot with the original character of Elizabeth Bennet.
Ooh.
And I think the original character of Elizabeth Bennet is an Aries. I know that Joachim Booster is a Sagittarius in real life. So I think no matter what, we're talking fire sign. And I think Aries or Sagittarius are great picks.
What about Bowen Yang?
I think Bowen Yang is something softer and sweeter. Like, he was the romantic, you know? He was the one who was like, I'm not here to hook up. I want to find a boyfriend. Like, I felt like he was maybe a Pisces or even a Cancer, honestly.
What,
like,
is he in real life?
In real life, he's a Scorpio.
Mysterious.
Mysterious.
He's so mysterious to me.
And so smart. I think Scorpio is such an intelligent sign. So analytical.
And then Matt
all
Rogers.
All water, yeah.
Matt Rogers, who played Luke, is a Pisces. He's a triple Pisces because I listen to Las Culturistas, which is my whole inspiration for existence. And he talks a lot about being a triple Pisces.
Oh my God, is he like, when he says triple Pisces, does he mean Pisces, Sun, Moon, Rising?
I'm pretty sure we can fact check this, but he talks a lot about being a triple Pisces. And he is like, I am all water, right?
Yeah.
And he is just, but I just thought he did such an amazing breakout performance in this movie. And I've been watching more of I Love That For You, Vanessa Bayer's Showtime show. And he has a great role on that show as well. And I just am so excited for a person I don't even know. I listen to his podcast and I am so excited for his acting career. I'm like, God, keep it going. Keep showing us these really amazing characters that you're playing that are so, I don't think we've gotten to see people like Meg Stolter and Matt Rogers showing off these amazing sides of amazing different characters.
I hear that. I fucking love Matt Rogers. He's so funny.
What do you think that little sister group was? So Tomas Matos as well. They played, they're like the sisters, right?
Yeah. So they are kind of the, in Pride and Prejudice, they're like the tacky younger sisters of Kitty and
Yeah, this is actually homework. You have to describe all the Pride
homework.
And Prejudice.
This is homework.
To
what am I doing? What's wrong with me? Well, okay.
What do you think their signs are?
I think their signs were, I think honestly, Matt might have been playing a Gemini. It's possible. It's possible. The messiness, like the messiness and the being the one who gets drunk and pukes and is like, I don't care that we're at this party. Let's just go have fun. Like, I think there's something Gemini about that.
But then what about Tomas, who loved his sister so much? Who takes care of a Gemini?
I mean, Libras. No, Libra, there's something sweeter because Tomas was so like in the morning after there's a scene when Joel's character Noah kind of bails at the end of the night and he wakes up and everyone's yelling at him, and Tomas and Torian Miller's character and Margaret Cho, they're all like, where's Bowen? Like, what did you do? Why did you abandon Bowen? And they're so upset. And I thought that was so sweet.
Yeah. That's what this movie was. It was sweet and it made you excited. It made me want to have close friends. It just was so like have inside jokes and just getting to watch such endearing people play characters I have never seen and seen represented was amazing.
I think every iteration of Mr. Darcy is always a Virgo. Sometimes Capricorn. But I think that in general, any William Fitzgerald Darcy, I'm going to call a Virgo.
And that was Fire Island. If you haven't seen it, it's on Hulu. Go watch it and let us know what you think. We want to talk about it more because we always want to talk about it more. Okay, I think we should just shout out some stuff we're listening to. Like, we've both been... Oh, have you guys heard of a Dua Lipa?
It's actually pronounced Dula Peep.
Dula Peep. I literally came in this morning. I was like singing that song. One kiss is all it takes. And I like could not stop. I woke up, went into my living room and told my boyfriend. I was like, I have to show you a dance. And I just danced to that song. That's where I'm at today. One kiss is all it takes. I don't know why. That song is doing it for me right now.
Okay, so I went dancing this weekend. Ooh. On Friday, I went to Gay Astrology. Shout out to Gay Astrology. I love Gay Astrology in Los Angeles. And I have had so many experiences with just shitty DJs in my life. Like, I feel like the DJ is never good, you know? Not specifically like Gay Astrology, but just every time I go dancing, the DJ is so bad. And this time, the DJ was so good.
Ooh,
and
do you know who it was? I wish we knew. Maybe we could look it up.
We should shout them out. We'll shout them out in the
fact check.
Wait for the fact check. We'll find them. We'll shout them out. But the DJ was so good. And to the point that I'm like finally getting into 90s Mariah Carey.
I'm like, have you ever heard of Dua Lipa? And you're like, have you ever heard of Mariah Carey?
I'm like, wait, yeah, like, oh, a couple indie hits to recommend for the pod.
Please come at us. I actually, Ezra and I, hot producer Ezra and I took a Mariah Carey themed yoga class this morning at Y7. I teach yoga there, and we went and took a class, and the whole class was themed to Mariah Carey, and the peak song was Fantasy. And it's just like, oh my God, it's so good. Maybe that's why I'm in this fantastic mood, because of Mariah Carey.
In a fantastic fantasy mood. Fantasy is literally the one I was going to reference.
So at Gay Astrology, were they playing a lot of Mariah Carey?
I don't know. It was really just that there was like a big fantasy moment, and I was like, oh, I love this, you know? And like, okay, do you remember when Fifth Harmony had that song that was riffing on Always Be My Baby?
Always be my baby. Do do
do dum. Do, 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 do. I fucked with that, and this is now like I'm just getting into it, man. I'm like, I, because you know, we kind of came up during like Obsessed, Touch My Body, like all of those early, yeah, 2000s hits. But you know when Fantasy was released, October 1995, you know how old I was then? Whatever October minus May is,
I was like, I was like we're alive. I feel like Bo, yes, Burnham. Yeah, I was born in the 90s. Like how he's like, yeah, I was literally born in the night, like 1990. I'm like, thank you, Bo Burnham, for saying it. Somebody had to. He says that in his special Inside. It's on Netflix. Go watch it. I'm so excited to watch the YouTube cut of it, which I have not seen yet. Anyway, that's my Bo Burnham shout out. But yeah, we were born in the 90s.
Whoa, one day we're going to have to get into this, because you know that I love to talk shit about Bo Burnham.
I can't handle
that. And you love to talk positively about Bo Burnham. I can't handle
that. I've been a fan since I was 14. Oh my
Look,
God.
So have I. That's why. No, oh, I. But hey, there's room for nuance.
Okay, that's we're gonna talk about that at some point. That's on the schedule. Oh man.
Oh man. So Gemini moment. I guess now we have to pivot to a negative about Mariah.
Oh my God.
But I have such a good. Okay, you know what? This is a good moment for my Mariah anecdote. I once saw Mariah in real life.
Was it amazing?
It was incredible. Oh my God. She came out of this photography studio. And she was flanked, I shit you not, by three people on one side and three people on the other. She's wearing a floor-length black halter dress, floor-length black fur coat, giant black sunglasses.
How tall was she?
Probably like 5'8", but she was wearing heels.
That's pretty tall.
That's how it felt. I don't know.
She felt 5'8", 5'8" energy.
She felt 5'8".
Okay.
And I turned around and my jaw just dropped. It was like the thing of like, this happens. I was like, this is a cartoon celebrity. This is like, I can't imagine anyone who has this big of a posse.
That's like famous.
This is famous.
Yeah. Icon level. Wait, what
is
her sign?
Not really a negative.
What is her sign?
She's an Aries. She is an Aries icon.
Aries icon, Mariah Carey.
Big dick energy.
I feel like we don't need to say anything negative, because the negative is us pitching Mariah Carey as our culture. Like as us being like, hey guys, have you heard of Mariah Carey? Like, what's wrong with us?
Yeah. No, you know what? The negative is that we could probably use a new hit.
Oh.
The fact that I'm getting super into fantasy, yeah, and she's been like subsisting off of All
Christmas
I Want for Christmas
music?
Is You for two decades, three, yeah, decades.
Let's go, Mariah. Give us some more stuff.
We could probably use another big Mariah hit.
It's like Rihanna. Like, what do you think? Do you the Rihanna argument of like, yeah, Rihanna should give us some new music, but Rihanna just gave herself a baby.
You know, she had years to give us new music before she got pregnant.
She doesn't want to. She just wants to make underwear and, yeah, amazing skincare. And that's great. Actually, once we went on a trip together when we went to Big Bear, and my friend who was on the trip texted me afterwards and was like, hey, I saw that you had the Fenty skincare. Can you like it? Do you like it? Can you recommend it to me? And I was like, that's my boyfriend's skincare.
What? Really?
It really is.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you got to get her skincare.
I've always wanted to get the highlighter almost exclusively because it's titled Trophy Wife.
Oh my God.
She has a highlighter called Trophy Wife, and I'm like, I want that for me.
Wait, what is Rihanna's sign?
Rihanna's a Pisces, but she has all these Aries placements. Rihanna is a Pisces with an Aries moon and an Aries rising, and I think Aries Venus.
Yeah.
And I just feel like people aren't talking about that enough. People are not talking about how she has this fiery, like, feisty energy behind this beautiful, creative, watery sun.
Do you think that her and Mariah are friends?
No, I don't think Mariah has friends. I think Mariah has employees. Yeah. I think Mariah has Deborah Vance energy, which maybe makes Deborah Vance an Aries.
Because you didn't know. You weren't sure which one she was.
Yeah, I wasn't really sure. But also, like, I don't know. I mean, the Aries that I know in real life that are not Mariah Carey are so fucking nice. The Aries that I know in real life are not divas. They're just, like, really nice people who want to, like, you know, go to exercise class and, like, smile and tell jokes.
Okay. I don't know. That's my impression of Aries. I'm curious what people think of if what Deborah Vance is. Please let us know if you have watched Hacks. And amazing. That is our culture for the week. Oh, my God. I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed. literally, isn't that a Mariah Carey song? Am I crazy? Obsessed?
What? Yeah, it is.
That's a song. It there
is.
We go.
It absolutely is.
Court, let's do some compliments. Courtney, my compliment for you this week is I am so proud of you. I feel like your mother. Courtney, I am your mother this week. I am just so proud. I feel like there was a lot of shit thrown at you this week. Holy shit. And if I were you, I would have been like, peace out, y'all. I've had too much shit to deal with opening yourself up as an influencer and getting fucking COVID. Oh my God. I'm so sorry. And I'm just proud of you for still showing up to all the things you need to show up for.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Rachel, my compliment for you is that I am so impressed with your, like, your openness to culture. And I don't even mean culture, like, how can I rephrase this? I mean, when I say culture, I mean travel. Like, I am so impressed with your desire to see the world and take part in it and, like, the way you make that happen for yourself. And I think that's so cool that you are gonna go to London and Paris. And,
like, I know. I'm gonna be on a big trip in the next few weeks, just to say what that is. But we're still gonna be podcasting. But thank you. That's so nice.
And I think it's so cool that you have this, like, very curious mindset about just, I don't know, the globe, you know? I think that's awesome. I think it's cool that you care about the world.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm going to think about that as I am terrified on my plane ride because I love traveling, but I wish teleportation was real. That is my one thing that I'm like, you know what? Let's figure this shit out. I just want to close my eyes and wake up and be there.
Here. That, I fully agree. If I could have a superpower, it would definitely be just transportation. Like, just, you know, immediately transport. What is the word I'm looking for?
Yeah. Let's both compliment Ezra together at the exact same time. Okay.
I'm sure he's going to love that.
For the sound.
For the sound, yeah, for the audio.
My compliment for Ezra is, oh my God, Ezra was in a play. That is my compliment. Ezra was in a play this weekend and it was amazing. And going to see him act was fantastic. And I am so impressed with Ezra's ability to show up literally as different people as an actor and as a producer and as an editor. And oh my God, wow, you deserve a vacation.
Yeah, my compliment is similar. I'm very impressed with Ezra's ability to, like, literally just juggle. He is working a, like, a full-time job. Like, this is, like, insane, like, how many things. And producing a fucking short film, which you guys should all check out. That is about, like, gosh, I'm not going to explain it as well as you can. But you should all go check out this short film, X, and we will plug it when we on our podcast page, Uncut Gemini's Pod. Ezra is just, oh, God, balancing so many things that I could not manage, and I think that is so cool.
Yeah. All right. Love you guys.
We're going to see you next Thursday for our top 10 Geminis. Get excited. Let us know if you have someone that you think definitely belongs in the top 10 Geminis.
Bye, friends.
Bye.
So, here's where they went wrong. By the way, this is Ezra, and I just have to say, as a queer Asian, I felt very seen by watching Fire Island, and just want to applaud Joel Kim Booster, Bowen Yang, and Andrew Ahn. All right, the quote, "The truth will set you free," is actually from the Bible, and a famous variant is attributed to Gloria Steinem. "The truth will set you free, but first it will piss you off." Kim Kardashian is no longer Kim Kardashian West. Rachel actually read 2 articles this morning, not 20. Stay humble. Natalie Portman does not have a degree in neuroscience or biology. It's in psychology. Hacks was nominated for 15 Emmys and won 3. Joe Mandysine is a Pisces. In Fire Island, Matt Rogers plays the Lydia Bennett character, Tomas plays the Kitty character, and Torin plays the Mary character. Also, there are actually 5 daughters in Pride and Prejudice, but Courtney really wants you to know that no one cares about Mary. The internet says that Matt Rogers is a Pisces Sun, Cancer Moon, Pisces Mercury, and Cancer Rising, but we don't actually have any real way of confirming this. The DJ from Gay Astrology is named Amber Valentine. We thank them so much for shedding light on the indie artist, Mariah Carey. Mariah Carey's song Fantasy was actually released as a single in August 1995, but the album did come out in October 1995. Also, October minus May is effectively 4 months. And Mariah Carey is in fact 5'8". Good eye, Courtney.